Thank you, Buzz. It's a beautiful song, and I always enjoy all these guys that get up and lead these new songs, and I think we do better each time we sing them, and it's always an encouragement to be able to sing those songs together. I wonder what a wonderful blessing it is for us to be together this morning. If you're here this morning and you're visiting with us, we want to take this opportunity to invite you back. We hope that you stay after church this morning. Let us get to meet you and find out a little bit more about you, and we want you to come back any and every opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. Certainly want to remember Brother Guy in our prayers this morning as he's dealing with a lot of pain and trouble in the hospital on his 82nd birthday, and that's why I am standing here this morning and not him. And we certainly want to remember him as we go through our service and go throughout the day. Certainly thankful for Doug leading the prayer and for Steve reading the scriptures this morning from John chapter 14. And that's where we're actually going to begin this morning. John chapter 14, we're going to be looking at that, some of the verses from that chapter. Something that is interesting about John's epistle is that he gives us a lot more detail than the other Gospels do on several occurrences. And John chapter 14 is one of those examples. All of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all give us the account of Jesus with his disciples at what we refer to as the Last Supper. Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper there with them, as we too will observe here shortly. But John gives us more detail about the conversations that are had. John chapter 14 is a conversation Jesus teaching his disciples that none of the other Gospels give us. And it's a basic lesson that Christ teaches his disciples, something that we can get great benefit from in studying. You know, the disciples Jesus is preparing to send out into the world. They're going out on their own to teach others about the gospel and to teach others about him. And this is one of the final conversations that he has with them before his death. And these are the thoughts that he shares with them. And so there's great benefit for us to remind ourselves of those things. Things that seem very basic to us very often were the things that Jesus shared with his disciples when he had one last chance. John chapter 14 is where we will begin. Steve has already read verses 1 through 6 for us, and so we won't read them again. We're just going to go right into some of the questions that Jesus answers in this chapter as he's discussing with his disciples. You know, one of the things that we do, no matter how long we've been a Christian, whether we've been a Christian, you know, or gone to church our entire lives, or whether we're just beginning, you know, sometimes I think we get to a point in our lives from time to time where we just think, you know, what am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, what is the meaning of my life, and what am I supposed to be doing with it? I think all of us from time to time feel that way. And Jesus answers this question for us. As he's preparing his disciples to go out and teach, he talks about the goal of our lives and the goal that we're to teach others about. John chapter 14, verse 2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Think about what Jesus is saying to the disciples, what he's saying to us. You know, so often in life, we don't know, you know, we lose focus on what we're trying to accomplish. But God has a specific plan for us. God is preparing a mansion for us. God wants us to achieve that goal. God is preparing for us to be there. He wants us to be obedient to Him. He wants us to attain that goal. He wants us to be in that mansion that He has prepared for us. And that's what Jesus is telling His disciples. You know, but oftentimes I think we get so caught up in life that we lose focus on that. We lose focus on that goal, on obtaining that goal, and being with Jesus and God forever. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, there Luke's account of the parable of the sower. He says, "Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they had heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity." I think that can apply to a lot of us today. You know, we get so wrapped up in every single thing that we have going on in our lives that many times God kind of takes a back seat. We push Him to the back burner and quit focusing on what it is that He wants us to do and what He wants for us. And we only focus on ourselves. And I was thinking about this last night, and I don't know how many of you have ever been on a cruise ship. Some of us more than others, I suppose. And many times when you get on the cruise ship, you set sail for your destination, and that's the entire point, right? You're going for that destination that maybe you can't fly to or go and spend a week at. And so you get on that cruise ship, and they take you to your destination. One of the things you get is you get that itinerary, and they tell you, this is what we're going to do, and this is where we're going to be. And many times they have what they call fun days at sea. And that's just a sneaky way of them telling you, we're not really going to have anything. We're not going to be anywhere. We're just going to be out in the middle of the ocean, and you're not going to be able to see anything. Just ocean and just water all the way around you. But there's all kinds of things to do on that ship. There's all kinds of things to, you know, shows to go to and swimming pools and, you know, buffets to go to and visit. There's all kinds of things to get your mind away from the fact that you're not actually at your destination yet. You're just on the way. And that's what they want you to do. They want you to actually forget about the destination. They don't want you sitting in your room on that ship just thinking about, okay, now when we get there tomorrow, I want to do this and I want to do that. No, they want you to have a good time. And they want you to enjoy yourself. They want you to forget about the destination and enjoy the ship. And sometimes I think that's what we do with our life every day. We forget about the destination, and we only worry about what's going on right now. We lose focus on our eternal destination because of all the things that we surround ourselves with and all the things that we let get in the way every single day. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at these things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Now, I think that's the idea that Paul is telling the Corinthians there, is that, you know, sometimes in life, we have a lot of problems going on. We're going to face difficulties. There's going to be things in our life that are going to be difficult for us to face, and they're going to be difficult for us to overcome. And they're going to get between us and God. He says, but those things are temporary. Those things are just there to get in the way. Those things are just there for you to stumble over. We don't need to focus on those things. We need to focus on the eternity that we can spend with God. It'll make those things seem like nothing. It'll make us realize that they're just for a moment. Luke chapter 6, Jesus there, in Luke's account of the Beatitudes, verses 22 and 23, he says, "Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven." Our reward is great in heaven. The things that happen here on earth, the things that people say about you, the actions that people take against you because you want to stand up for what's right, those things are temporary. Those things don't mean anything. He says, rejoice for the fact that you can stand up for what is right. Rejoice in the fact that you know what eternity holds for you. because life here on earth is just for a while. We also might ask, well, what's the way? We understand the destination, and we understand that, you know, we've got somewhere for us to go. We've got somewhere in eternity to go. How do I get there? Jesus, as He teaches the disciples, addresses this as well. John chapter 14, verse 6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. You know, I think sometimes we take for granted the blessings that we have. Sometimes I think we take for granted the blessings that we have in the Scripture that we all have. Most of you here this morning probably have a Bible in your lap. You may have an app on your phone that has 100 different versions of the Bible. We take that for granted sometimes, I think. I don't know how many of you are guilty of the same thing that I'm guilty of. You know, my Bible has sat before right over there on my pew. I've left it there on Sunday night when I've left the building, not to be picked up again until Wednesday night when I return. How many of you have ever done the same? How many of you leave the building and don't think about God's Word until we come back here again? All of us have probably been guilty of it at some point. That's us taking for granted the blessings that God has given us. The blessing that God has given us in the Word of His. God has given us this map to the greatest treasure in life. And we leave it on the pew. We leave it sitting there for another time. One of the apps I have on my phone, one of my Bible apps, it keeps up with how many days in a row you read your Bible on the app. And it can be an encouraging thing, but it can also actually be a kind of discouraging thing. You know, you open that thing and it says zero. No days. You got a streak this week of zero. You hadn't opened this app, you haven't read your Bible all week. Man, I got to do better. But it's an encouraging thing when you get to the end of the week and you see that seven pop up. Like, man, I'm doing okay. You know, I'm accomplishing something. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to believe in Him and be obedient. John 3, verse 36 says, He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You know, belief leads to obedience. That's what we're taught throughout Scripture. You know, as we read and understand and believe in God, that leads us to be obedient to His will. And that's what God wants for us. That's what God wants us to do. So, as we move forward, though, what is really expected of us? God shows us the way, but what do we really have to do with it? John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, If you love Me, keep My commandments. Something that's so simple in thought. We think about what it is that Jesus is saying. But sometimes I think it's one of the more difficult things that we do. We know the difference between right and wrong. We know the things that we should do, and we just don't do them. Why do we do that? Why do we have that attitude? Paul in Acts chapter 22, verse 10 says, they're speaking of his own conversion. He says, So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go to Damascus, and there you will be told all the things which are appointed for you to do. Paul there encourages others by telling his story of his conversion. And the fact that we can understand. God does tell us what to do and what He would have us to do. And all of us can understand it. And all of us can be obedient to it. No matter our situation, no matter how old we are, no matter the things that we've done in our past life, Paul was the perfect example of that and the things that he had done. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome." Think about how we view God's commands for us. How we view the commands that God has given us. What do you think about them? What do you think in your daily life about what it is God wants you to do? John says God's commands are to be obeyed. They're not to be burdensome. Do you think God's commands are difficult? Do you think, I just don't know that I can do this. Why has God made it so hard for me and for others? John says His commandments aren't. He says it's not to be difficult because it isn't. And I think sometimes we view God's commands as hindrances. We think about things that we can't do. And that's how we view things sometimes. Think about, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. And it gives us this negative idea towards God's commands. And it gives us a built-up idea of ourselves. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30 there, the parable of the talents. We read that from time to time. We won't read it this morning because we know the story. And the men there are either exalted or sent away because of their actions. But what we see is that different ones have different abilities, right? Different ones have different talents given to them. And the same is true with us. Those aren't exalted because they have more and they've done more. They're exalted because they've taken what they were given and they've used it. They're sent away because they've taken what they were given and they didn't use it. And I think oftentimes we get confused with the abilities that we have. And we think about our abilities and what we've done and the things that we've accomplished. And we don't give God any credit. We view God's commands as hindrances, as burdensome. We think about all the accomplishments that we have and think that we've done that all by ourselves, when God has been there for us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 there, Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." It doesn't mean that in our life there won't be difficulties. To live the life of a Christian is to live the life of being different from the world, being a peculiar people. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be different. He wants us to stand out. In doing so, people will recognize God in us. Paul says, I've put away that old self. Christ is living in me. And others will see it. Of course, along the way, there will be obstacles. There will be problems that arise. There will be difficulties that we face. And Jesus knew this as He was talking to the disciples. As He speaks to them there, He knows that they're going to face problems. And the people that they're talking to will face problems as well. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. The disciples were going to receive the Holy Spirit a different way than we interact with the Holy Spirit today. The disciples were going to be able to receive the Holy Spirit and go out and heal people, perform miracles. We can take comfort in knowing that we've been given Scripture. We've been given the ability to understand. We can take comfort in knowing that we can understand what it is that God wills for us. And that even though there are things that will arise, there are difficulties that will arise, we can overcome them. Paul, when he writes his first letter to the Corinthians, speaks of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." It's encouraging to us, or it should be, to know that even though difficult times will arise, even though temptations will be faced, we can overcome them. Someone else, just like us, has had to face the same temptations. They've had to face the same problems. And they were able to overcome. And we can too. We can get encouragement from that. And we can give encouragement from that as well. That's something important for us to remember. As we look here at James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Think about all the difficulties that we may face in life as a Christian. And understanding that others can have overcome and we too can overcome. Sometimes we need strength. Sometimes we need encouragement. And we can ask God for that strength. We can look to others for encouragement, but we also need to remember that sometimes we will be looked upon for that encouragement. Just as we look to others to encourage us and to give us hope, we may have to provide that encouragement and that hope to someone else. It's an important role that we play for each other. It's an important way that we can help each other as we go through life together in the way that we live. That's what Jesus closes his thoughts with the disciples there on how we should live. The encouragement that we can give. John chapter 14, verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, I wonder if you've ever had some great experience in your life. We talked about cruise ships a few minutes ago. I wonder if you've ever been on a really great vacation. With Facebook now, everybody knows where you've been and what you've been doing. If you've ever been on a great vacation, and you know, one of my favorite parts about going on those vacations is getting to tell others about it, getting to share your experiences with others. And it's also really fun to talk to others about the vacations that they've been on, the places that they've been, the things that they've seen. It's an exciting time when you get to do that. An exciting experience to get to share those moments with others. We think about the gospel. We should have that same level of excitement in telling others. But do we? Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. I give you this peace. The world can't give it to you, but I can." When he goes out into when these disciples go out into the world, he wants them to share that peace with others. He wants us to do the same. Acts chapter 27, verse 25. Paul there speaking. He says, "Therefore take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told to me." In Acts chapter 27, Paul is on a ship. He's not just on any old ship. He's on a ship carrying prisoners. And he's one of them. They've left Rome on this ship with hundreds of men, hundreds of prisoners on board. And they get into rough seas. They're in storms that are bad, so bad that the men begin to throw things overboard to try to save the ship. Paul has an angel of God come and be with him and speak to him. And he tells him, "All of you are going to live." And Paul goes to the others, all of the people on the ship, he gathers around and he says, "I believe God that the things that he has said to me will happen." It's the same encouragement that we can have as we go through life. We have an eternal destination, an eternal goal that we're striving for. God has told us that it's true. We have to have faith in His promises. This morning, if you're not a Christian, if you're here and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you've never been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you wish to do so this morning, we would invite you to come. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, you have sin in your life that you need to make correction of, if there's any way that we can assist you, we would invite you to come while together the rest of us